The title of today's lecture is Earth Tuning. Now, the reason I chose this title is because here at least it's spring and we have a lot of growing happening all of a sudden. Everything is becoming very green. The grass is growing very nicely. We find that all of the trees and plants are becoming alive. We find that there is an enormous amount of energy of nature. We find that there is life just bursting everywhere. And I'm sure that in other places, this will happen, I would suppose, in a month from now. Or if you live way up north, maybe a month and a half or 2 months. It's a wonderful time. It's a time when you just want to be outside all day. Here it's not so hot. The temperatures range between, I guess, 22, 23 to about 30. So it's not so hot for us, and it's a very pleasant time. It's a time when we want to go outside and be outside all day. And for me, especially, I want to get my hands in the earth. I want to take care of the plants. I want to take away all of the dead leaves which are there. There are actually many dead leaves there due to the fact that we had a very difficult winter. Not that it was cold all the time, but I think about maybe 4 nights it went below zero and it seriously damaged a lot of plants. So, but they're all coming back. They're not dead. They just had a very serious trauma. And they're all coming back, so all that dead leaf has to be taken away so that there's room for the plant to grow again, to renew its form, to reach to the sky, to reach to the heavens, to connect to its source of energy, its source of nourishment. One wants to clean up all of the twigs that fell from the trees. It's interesting, here in our backyard, we have many old trees, old oak trees, and on these oak trees in the winter, vultures or buzzards, they are called. They're not your usual kind of vultures with the big neck, you know. They're very short-necked buzzards, we call them. They're just big birds that like to eat dead things. And usually one would think this is a big annoyance that they make their winter home in this kind of forest which is in the backyard. But I think they do a very nice service for the trees because by sitting in the trees and flapping their wings and jumping off, they break all of the dead branches which are up there, the small dead branches. And they clean the tops of the trees so that the tree will have more room to grow and expand. So even though ordinarily you would think these birds are an annoyance, I see it that they're doing a great job of cleaning the trees. And when it gets warmer, they leave and they go back up north, probably because there's more things for them to eat up there. It's in cycle of nature, the cycle of nature in the way in which nature has its own particular way of sustaining life. If you think about history, you will see that there are geological cycles where the earth has major transformations, where there is a releasing of pressure under the earth, perhaps in the form of an earthquake or a volcano, which changes the land mass, changes the way in which the earth manifests. Sometimes continents shift. Sometimes we find that there is an enormous transformation in the waterways, in the ways of the rivers or the ways of the ocean. We find over long geological periods of time, there are vast changes of the temperature cycles. And sometimes there's ice over a large part of the planet. Sometimes all that ice melts. And these changes within the Earth's cycle are normal. They are part of the everyday cycle of existence. It's just that it's manifesting over an extremely long period of time. All of the creatures, all of the living beings on this planet have been subordinate to the changes that take place on the planet. The plants adapt to whatever situation is there on the earth. The plants simply exist in whatever environment is already there. The plants do not try to change their environment. The plants simply accept whatever is there and they adapt to it. The animals do the same thing. They are living according to their natures. They are living according to the way in which they normally are, the way in which they normally exist according to their nature as living beings. It's only in a very short geological period of time, practically I suppose you could call it within the last few moments of geological time, that human beings have developed the capacity to transform the earth in a major way, in a significant way. We have diverted water by making dams or canals, by causing water to flow in the way we wish it to flow. We have created We've drilled through mountains to make tunnels. We've laid railroads throughout the lands and roads for cars. We are flying with airplanes. We are drilling in the earth and bringing out oils and oil derivatives. We are, in a very significant fashion, transforming the natural path of this planet. We are putting chemicals in the air which are transforming the environment. And because we have developed the capacity to control, to a certain extent, our environment, we have separated ourselves from that environment. We have developed a mentality that we are the superior consciousness on this planet simply because we have learned how to manipulate various aspects of nature. Man has for quite some time learned the art of manipulating or controlling animals and plants. We pick a plant up here and we move it there, or we chop it down there, or we genetically modify it. We have our cows or our horses or our goats or our pig or whatever animals. We have birds here and we have dogs there and cats there. We domesticate animals. We make them our servants. So we have it in our minds that we are somehow superior. We feel that our ability to manipulate all the creatures that we desire to manipulate, we are therefore superior, and that somehow or another we are the presiding or controlling entities on this planet. And a byproduct of this mentality is we have separated ourselves from the plants, separated ourselves from the animals, separated ourselves from the earth, because we feel we are superior. We feel they are somehow beneath us. So we have developed this idea of separation. We have developed this idea that somehow or another we are superior. Now, this is a very interesting concept. It's very interesting how we have placed ourselves in an alienated position, a separated position, a position whereby our consciousness has placed us apart from our environment. We even think of it as the environment, as in the room or the house or the city. It's the environment. It's something separate from us. We don't really feel a connection to it. We only feel the effect of it. For example, if the environment becomes unpleasant, we suffer. Or if the environment is kind of like nice out, we enjoy it. Or if the animals are nice, we enjoy them. The plants are nice, we enjoy them. If not, we suffer them. We don't like it. We see these things in terms of our enjoyment and suffering. Very self-centered. Totally self-centered. We think of it in terms of ourselves, and there is this stuff outside of us with different categories of existence which somehow affect us and we have to deal with, but we don't really feel more than that. I mean, some people do, of course. Obviously, there are very aware people. There are people who are very aware of their environment, very aware of their existence, very aware of everything there is in their particular world as being part of them, and they are part of it. This is a elevated consciousness. This is an advanced consciousness. This is a consciousness that is very important. We have talked often about this consciousness of separation, this consciousness of division between ourselves and others, between ourselves and anything. When we make this division, this uniqueness that separates us, that we are so unique, we cannot make the connection. We are so uniquely different than the plants that we cannot make the connection. After all, the plants don't have bodily organs. The plants can't speak to us verbally. We don't hear some sound vibration. They don't walk. So we consider ourselves unique because the way in which they get their nutrients, for example, from the sun through photosynthesis, by sucking it from the earth through the roots, the physiological differences in our bodies make us feel that we are totally unique. We feel, therefore, separate from them. And some people feel that way in terms of animals also. Even though their biology may not be so much different than us, their consciousness, we think, we assume, is so different. Different from us, because that consciousness is something which cannot manifest will, cannot manifest their desires and a communication that we can hear or perceive of in the same way that we hear or perceive other people. I say this is completely incorrect. All of these suppositions, all of these assumptions that we take for granted are fundamentally false. They are not relevant. They are not real. They are not something which actually expresses or truly expresses reality. They are rather ideas which we feel comfortable in accepting. They are ideas which we feel somehow or another have some benefit to us when we think this way.
way.
For example, animals are of a different consciousness, so we can raise them and eat them for food without considering their consciousness or their living entity-ness, so to speak, their being living entities, because they are of such an inferior consciousness. Actually, I thought of an interesting point the other day. Let's just assume, just for the sake of fun, that we consider ourselves so superior because of our seeming now, quantitative superiority to plants and animals, seeming superiority. What if we were to find ourselves in a situation where aliens, if they exist, it's up to you to believe or not. So if aliens exist, and if they come to this planet and they have a superior technology, they have a superior psychic capacity, they have a superior capacity to move energy with their power. So there would be a quantitative superiority between ourselves and these aliens. Now, in that quantitative superiority, would we therefore find ourselves in a situation where we would be in the same position as the animals are in relationship to us? Would we be the food of aliens, for instance? Would we be the slaves of aliens? If you think in history, not that long ago, people used to think of other people as slaves to be cultivated for work because they are no better than animals. Not that long ago. You find throughout history, only up until very recent time, and in some places you still find it, very remote places, that some people are slaves. You find it still even in places like China or India where there's child labor because they're children, they should simply be used for work because they're useless for anything else. That's the mentality. That's the idea. So even in our so-called highly developed human consciousness, we have a very recent history where those who were superior, maybe because they were white and other people were black, or because they had more money and other people didn't, or they owned the land and the other people didn't, or they were the military power and the other people were weak, or any number of reasons where we place others in subordination and we exploit them, we use them. Can you imagine if we had that same situation, if some aliens did that to us, how we would feel? You really can't understand what you're doing, no matter who you are, until you take your consciousness and place it in the other party's body. Until you take your consciousness and place it in somebody else's body, and then look back at yourself. Look back at what you're doing. You're not able to understand what you're doing. That's why it's so very important to constantly be aware of what you're doing in relationship to others, in relationship to, for example, your words, your actions, your plans, your schemes, everything you're doing that affects other people. You've got to place yourself in their shoes and look back and see it from their eyes. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is because we tend to just walk on the earth and just march all over the place and do what we want and not care. We see earth, we see plants, we see animals, we see the nature as simply, shall we say, resources and nothing more. I would suggest that we have lost contact to those aspects of existence, of nature, which are of the utmost primary importance in our lives, utmost primary importance to ourselves, our identity as part of this world. That's why spring is such a wonderful opportunity to reconnect to the consciousness that is all around us, to feel the connection between ourselves, between the plants, with the trees, with the earth and the sun and the nature, by meditating either by going out and sitting in nature, sitting with the trees, feeling their energy, allowing their energy to come and cover us, to merge with our energy, that we can absorb it, we can accept it, and we can therefore tune to the energy of the nature around us, to tune to the earth and to listen very carefully to the voices, to the images, to the feelings which are being transmitted to us at every second, if we allow it. Usually we go and we don't care. I would say that's a great loss for us. What are we tuning to now? If you think about about it. What are the things that we tune to in our quote-unquote normal life? The television, computer screens, whatever work we're doing in our jobs, cars. What do you tune to when you sit in traffic for 2 hours? The radio? The music? What is it that they're presenting to you? For example, when you sit in traffic and you have the radio on, you're hearing things from people whose consciousness is not also very properly attuned to natural things, and they're pumping out to you some vibration and you absorb it because you have no choice. There you are, stuck in the traffic in the car, so you're just letting it flow over you, and you're absorbing the stress of the other drivers who are simply stuck sitting there, and you're absorbing the toxic fumes from the cars, and you're just sitting there and feeling the rubber and the plastic in the car, which is filled with all kinds of poisons. What are we attuning to? When we're home, we watch TV, and these messages are coming. You're tuning to the scripts that have been created, the advertising that has been created, which is meant to transform your consciousness to do something they want you to do, to buy something, to think something, to go somewhere. And in home, one may be surrounded in a flat, for example, by stone and brick, and the vibrations of all the people who you share that space with, food that comes from thousands of kilometers away, air that is filled with coal, sulfuric dust, or other kinds of exhaust fumes. Our situation is not so good in general. So we should take whatever opportunity we have to connect with that which is natural. If you live in an apartment building, fill your flat with plants of all kinds and varieties so that they will grow and have this wonderful living energy. And also connect with your living space. This is also part of Earth. We think of ourselves as fundamentally different with everything around us. Yet essentially, we are of the same ingredients. Now, I'm going to get back again to connecting with the environment and connecting with all that, but I want to just have a little bit of a detour here to just discuss this point again about our feeling so uniquely different from a plant. Just for example, and you can expand this example everywhere, both of us are essentially a product of the earth. For example, our human bodies are overwhelmingly made of water. What is it, like 90% or 98%? I don't know how much it is. The majority of our bodies is water. And the remaining portion of it is created by food which grows in the earth, or is something which has been nourished by that which grows in the earth. So we are basically a product of earth and water. The plants are a product of earth and water, same as us. And in the fact that we are eating them and that we are taking them and transforming their energy of earth and water into our physical bodies proves that there is essentially no physical difference at the fundamental basis between the plants and us. We are not that unique. Okay, the physiological processes by which these ingredients are metabolized and utilized, obviously it's different. There's difference between all species. There's even differences between the way certain people can't drink milk and certain people can. I mean, there's differences between everybody. But ultimately, we are of the earth. When we look at the earth, when we look at other beings, we should understand there is a similarity that we are all of the earth. We are all nourished by the earth. And therefore, to recognize that and to tune to that, actually, well, shall we say, theoretically, it's easier to understand this if you'd practice tuning to the earth. For example, if you're sitting in meditation and you just allow your consciousness to drop into the earth and you feel that energy just flowing into the earth and connecting to the earth like roots growing into the ground. We have done this kind of meditation before. And if you are an expert at what we have been doing, which I'm sure many of you are, if not most, you can just let your energy flow right down into the earth and you feel your hips like weight going into the earth. You feel that your hips become very earthbound and they're just flowing down into the earth, and there's a connection there, a strong connection. And when you feel that kind of a deep connection to the earth, you feel very deeply connected to the earth. And when you are so deeply connected like that to the earth, you are grounded. And then you can feel more deeply connected to all of the plants that are growing on the earth. A wonderful image I read just yesterday, that when you walk on the earth, you are walking on the ceiling of the worms. That is such a beautiful image, that you're walking on the ceiling of the worm. I mean, you can think of walking in so many different ways, but when you think of it like that, there's a whole world under your feet. Now, this idea of tuning to the earth, if you tune to the plants that are connected to the earth, you're also tuning to the earth. It is not that tuning to plants is difficult. It's like tuning to anything. We have been practicing tuning to all kinds of creatures, tuning to other people, being aware of other people, as we mentioned before, being aware of how our energy is impacting others. So we tune to how they see us. We tune to how they feel about what it is that we are saying or expressing. How do we do that? It's actually the same. In reality, all of these processes of tuning are exactly the same. We become, or shall we say, we go to another state of mind, not a state of mind where we are projecting our consciousness. Like when you're speaking to somebody, basically you say something and then they say something, and most of the time we don't really accept them. We're in the mode of projection. We're projecting our consciousness. We're projecting our mind. We are projecting our desires. Whereas in a tuning mode of consciousness, we are listening. You can't listen without acceptance. Even if somebody's speaking to you, if you don't accept what they say, you don't hear what they say. Now, you may not agree with what they say, but let's say if somebody makes a sentence, the world is flat, and you immediately say, no, that's crazy, and you don't want to hear anything. You don't hear what the person's saying anymore. You're busy trying to object. But if you just accept, and you may not agree, you don't have to agree, but you just accept and listen. For example, why would somebody say that? Maybe they're talking about the world they can see, which everybody sees is flat, which is why everyone thought the world was flat, because what they see is flat. So maybe they're trying to make another point, but it'll take you, or maybe they're making a joke. You don't know. So when you're talking to someone, even if you're in normal, regular consciousness, not even in the consciousness of tuning, you have to listen to what they're saying. And to listen, you have to accept. Just accept the words, accept the message they're trying to send to you. Then when it's appropriate, you make a response according to your, what you have digested, your consciousness, your understanding. You then respond appropriately. And when you wish to tune, it's a question of listening, but not just listening with the ears. It's listening with all your senses, listening with all your selves. You can also understand a lot by seeing, by observing carefully, observing what something looks like, how people are responding, or just observing their energy, observing, just to observe, to accept, to be aware, to see, to just feel. That's tuning. Tuning means to not be in the mode of projection, but to be in the mode of acceptance, of awareness, ultimately of reception, to be receptive, which means to allow. Most people block tuning because they do not allow other persons or other energies to get into their field. Maybe because they've been hurt, maybe because they felt rejected, maybe because they've been abused or exploited. But if you allow, for example, plants, you don't have to fear. They're not going to exploit you. You can practice such tuning by tuning to plants, to just accept their energy, just accept what they are, to accept the feeling you have. And when you accept like that, an interesting thing happens. You no longer feel that superior, separated, unique you. You feel connected. You feel part of that nature. You don't feel superior to it. You don't feel inferior to it. You feel it to be an integral part of yourself. And when you feel that integration, you don't feel like exploiting nature anymore. You don't feel like destroying it. If you really want to save the world, which so many people do, and some people want to do it politically, some people want to do it economically, some people want to do it militarily, some people want to do it through healthcare, and other people want to do it through education, and so on. All good ideas. Maybe the little world they have in front of them, or maybe the whole planet or whatever. Good ideas. But the real methodology of doing it, not that the others are false, but or not even real, but if you want to do it most efficiently, in the optimal manner, in other words, with the greatest potential good, this is done by tuning, by accepting, starting with nature, seeing the effect of what we do on our world, the effect of what we do on ourselves, the effect of everything on every other aspect of life. And when you're feeling this, that the methodology for saving the world or saving your garden or saving your family becomes obvious because it speaks to you. It tells you. When you are in tune with your garden tells you what it needs. You can come to a plant, it will tell you what it needs. It's a question of tuning. You can hear if you want. Same with children. Sometimes people ask about taking care of children. It's an important thing, but again, it's the same principle. To feel their need, to feel their consciousness, to feel that. And when you actually feel that to such a degree that you are aware of them, the way they act towards you will change. A child who feels the parents are connected with the child, the child who feels the parents understand the child and the need, acts much more respectfully, much more appreciatively, because they feel comfortable, rather than a child who feels disconnected, that the parents don't hear, don't care, don't understand. So that child acts in rebellion, or acts to get attention, or acts in a self-destructive way because they feel they're not worthy. This concept of tuning is the number one methodology for being the perfect parent. Okay, there's no such thing as perfection, but at least the aware parent. Just like when if you're with a plant, you know, you don't just let the plant grow in any way it wants, or you have to prune it sometimes to give it growth. So sometimes when you're dealing with your children, you have to make sure they do the right thing, they eat the right thing, they take care, because you are educating them in what is best for their bodies. And if you are in contact with your body, that is, if you are in contact with earth, if you are in contact with water, if you are in contact, then when you are so in contact, your children will absorb that energy of coming in contact with their own bodies. And if they feel that love and connection with you, they will also care about themselves, and they will learn the art of caring for themselves and caring for others. So this concept of earth tuning is the concept of attuning oneself, of coming in connection with, making one's awareness accept the energies, accept the needs, the words, the thoughts, the feeling, in a listening capacity, to be receptive in a listening capacity. You may not agree, and you may make an alternative expression or create an alternative action, but you will appreciate and be appreciated. You will understand and make an appropriate response. And all of this is very, very important, especially now. Of all the times in history, it is essential now that we recover our lost connection to the earth so that we can hear the earth. We can hear and make an appropriate response to the situation we find ourselves in today. Because if we don't do this, there will be terrible consequences. We are already experiencing this. I would say that one of the primary, if not the primary cause of the economic disaster, which is everywhere today, is the exploitative mentality, the greedy mentality of the everybody in relationship to money, without having connection to other people, without having connection to a community, without having a connection to the world. Simply, it's like a raping mentality in war. You rape and burn and move on and conquer and accumulate possessions and accumulate balances in account. It's a selfish, single vision idea of one's own particular greatness, one's own particular lordship of this world. And almost certainly, that's the fundamental basis of the economic crisis today. And I feel that our way to deal with it is to counter the very energy which creates such kinds of crises, not only financially, but environmentally, by making ourselves so aware that we can respond locally in the most appropriate way, in our own little little gardens, our own little lands, or our own little environment, even in our flats with wonderful plants, or having perhaps different living beings we take care of, or to create a beautiful loving energy in our home, to feel the different energies in our home and correct if there's something wrong, move furniture around or place different objects in different ways, or remove clutter, get rid of all things we don't need, just spring cleaning, clean out all the junk. All junk should get out. And if we can feel these ideas and understand the importance of them, we can transform our own lives, find ourselves to be in a much more peaceful situation and therefore healthier situation, and actually enjoy the gifts of this life. So I think this is a very significant and important concept, and I feel very honored to be able to represent this concept. It's not original, but it sure feels good to speak about.